The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Morning, Anthony. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Interesting day for Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow. He will officially tie with David Ben-Gurion as Israel's longest-serving prime minister.
Wow.
13 years and 127 days. That's tomorrow. On Saturday, Prime Minister Netanyahu will officially become the longest-serving prime minister in Israel, of 13 years and 128 days on Saturday. But not only that, he holds the record for the single longest term. 10 years and 108 days he's been prime minister of Israel, the last 10 years. Only David Ben-Gurion came anywhere close to that. His longest term was 7 years and 235 days. So Prime Minister Netanyahu definitely will be taking the record as Israel's longest serving prime minister. Interesting little snippet for him on Saturday. I'm sure he will have something to say about that.
Has there been anyone who has served in more ministerial positions than Benjamin Netanyahu?
Good question, which I have no answer to. I'm not sure. But given that he kind of holds almost all of the ministries at the moment, I think it would be difficult to challenge him, really.
Yeah, no, I reckon he's going to win hands down. That is for sure. Anthony, talk to us about, the IDF increasing protection for strategic sites from Hezbollah missiles.
Well, apparently that's what we understand from Jane's Defense Weekly, which is a very, very well thought of and very informative defense magazine that people really take notice of when they publish things. And according to what Jane's Defense Weekly is saying, the Israeli Air Force is really going to be building an unspecified number of strengthened aircraft hangars that will include taxiways and service roads and auxiliary facilities and administrative buildings and underground tunnels and general storage areas in order to protect the Israeli Defense Force, the Israeli Air Force, aeroplanes and of course the equipment that goes along with it. And that's going to be extra reinforced against the possibility of Hezbollah strikes against that. But not only that, apparently the Home Front Command is looking to protect a number of key sites across Israel, which will include reinforced concrete walls and stronger ceilings and blast-proof doors and anti-shrapnel protection. And it's, according to what Jane's Weekly is saying, the IDF is believing that the next war with Hezbollah will be very much broader than the last one that took place in 2006. It will stretch all along the entire northern border with Lebanon and Syria. And also, these days, Hezbollah has the ability to reach much further into Israel than was the case before. You know, whereas it was considered unlikely that Hezbollah could even reach Tel Aviv with the missiles that they had. And in fact, there were some missiles that surprised people by getting as far south as Hadera, for example, during that war. Now it is anticipated that Hezbollah could reach as far as Ashdod, which is south of Tel Aviv, and even beyond that. So within that area, clearly, are some very, very strategic sites, including arms depots and petrochemical and desalination plants, and of course, Ben-Gurion Airport, amongst other things. So it seems as if, though, this has really taken the attention of the IDF and that a huge amount of work is or will be going on in order to protect these strategic sites and the strategic facilities. And along with that, of course, looking at individual civilians, if we believe what the Home Front Command is saying, they're saying that up to 2.5 million Israelis do not have adequate protection from Hezbollah missiles in their own kind of daily lives, where they work or where they live. And the government actually designated 150 million shekels for work to strengthen buildings around the country from rocket attacks. And one of the things that's been interesting about some of this development work that's been going around Israel is that certain buildings have been reinforced supposedly against earthquakes, which is, of course, also a major threat that Israel has, in that initially many of the old buildings that were built were not built according to earthquake standards. So there's been a huge program to reinforce particularly apartment buildings to make them earthquake-proof. And I would imagine, along with that, to also make them bomb-proof, or at least to provide protection facilities for the people who live in those apartments. Huge amount of renewal work that goes on along at the same time. So these apartment buildings that are being reinforced also being renewed to make them look a lot better, and to improve the quality of the neighborhoods in which they live. And the way that this is being funded is by actually adding another floor or two on the top of these apartment buildings, with extra apartments being built, new ones, that the builder sells off in order to cover the cost of all of the work that's done on the apartment, including the reinforcement and including the renewal of the apartment building. So that's the way that this has been going on for the last few years in Israel. And it's been quite successful, and has really led to a lot of renewal and regeneration work in many neighborhoods around Israel.
Can I take you back to the Hezbollah missiles for just a moment? Is Israel not being hugely reactive when it comes to this threat? I mean, I know that they attack Syria when the convoys are going off to Lebanon. Surely these missiles are kept somewhere in Lebanon, and surely the IDF knows where they are.
So that's very true, Simon. It's a very valid question, because we do know how active the IDF has already been in trying to prevent the transfer of weapons, particularly weapons from Iran and potentially also from Russia. But I guess there's a certain limit to what can be done to really prevent Hezbollah from accumulating these weapons. And the problem that we have is that many of these weapons are being stored in residential areas. So even though the IDF already comes under some sort of criticism for their activity that we see when trying to intercept convoys of missiles and convoys of military hardware, you could imagine how much criticism would be directed towards the IDF if they attacked a Hezbollah missile storage facility that then has civilian casualties as a result of the attack. That would really not go down very well. And I suppose that the IDF has had to work out which battles it's going to be fighting at this stage, and which battles it's going to have to wait to fight at the moment when any conflict might break out. And, you know, we have to rely on the smart people in the know, in the intelligence services and in the military, in order to make those calls. But I'm guessing that the call is not a very easy one to make.
Okay. Anthony, let's talk about Ilhan Omar. What is she up to?
Well, we know her as being a very outspoken anti-Israeli member of the U.S. House of Representatives. She represents the Democratic Party and comes from Minnesota. And she's put forward a new pro-BDS resolution in the Congress that effectively reaffirms all Americans having the right to participate in boycotts in pursuit of civil and human rights at home and abroad, of course, as protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. So she, of course, invokes the First Amendment, which Americans hold very, very dear in all respects. But the critical part is that she has reserved the right of Americans to participate in boycotts, including those that are abroad, that involve countries abroad. And I think that therein lies the issue. Even though BDS is not particularly mentioned in her proposed legislation, it's clearly directed in that way. And we know that because when she made the announcement of this legislation having been introduced to the House, she also mentioned at the end of her conference that she held that she's planning to visit Israel and the Palestinian territories in a few weeks. So there was a clear link between the introduction of that legislation and her intention to visit Israel. This legislation that she's introducing comes somewhat in response to legislation that's been approved, five bills, I think, all in all, that are pro-Israeli bills that have been introduced to the House as well. And so she's kind of really putting the brakes on some of this to some degree. And I think what's for me very interesting is to see how the Israeli government is going to respond to any visit that she makes to Israel and to the Palestinian Authority area, because we know that up until now, the government has been quite inclined to prevent anti-people, prevent people who are coming with a particular anti-agenda from visiting Israel and from visiting the Palestinian Authority area. I just wonder whether they're going to do that this time around. And I'm interested to hear from people who are listening whether they think that the right approach is to prevent her from visiting or just to allow her to visit and show that, you know, it's freedom for all. You want to come here, come along, see it for yourself, without preventing her from, you know, doing whatever any other free citizen might wish to do here.
Anthony, we've run out of time, so tomorrow we'll talk about Netflix and Ethiopian Jews. But thank you as always. We have to go to news because it is coming up for 8 o'clock.
Just very, very quickly, Anthony, if you could be a Golden Girl, do you remember the Golden Girl series? Goodness.
I do actually. Unfortunately, that really ages me, doesn't it?
No. We're all in the same boat. Yeah. There was Rose, who was like slightly ditzy, right? There was Blanche, who was the one who liked to sleep around. There was Dorothy. Yes. And then there was Sophia, which was...
The granny.
The granny, right?
Yes.
If you could be a Golden Girl, which one would you be?
I think it would be Sophia, because I always remember Sicily back in the day.
Oh, so you're actually there. In you're very well qualified for that. Anthony Wright, have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for standing in for Rolene Marks in the afternoons and enjoying your reporting in the afternoons as well. God bless.
Take care.
Shabbat shalom. Bye.